text is Job 14, verses 1 through 6. I want to show tonight the state of natural man, and therefore those of us who follow the Spirit of God and cease to walk in the Spirit of God. I want to show some conditions that we find ourselves in, and then I want to show the hope of our generation of Christians, and I want to show some promises of God. This is going to tie in with the morning message that Gordy brought. He gave the largest scope and application to the universal body of Christ and the solution that God is going to bring to the dryness that we see around about us and to the deadness that we see around about us. What I'm going to bring tonight has an individual and personal application to most people here tonight. Would you all please stand and pray for God's anointing upon this message? The Spirit of God is burning my heart tonight. It's been burning ever since. Since before I knew I was going to preach this message. This message has been building and building my heart since the middle of July, and I brought a little bit of it in a sort of a testimony and exhortation a month or so ago, but I wanted to bring the fullness of this message because I believe that God's going to set some people free tonight. I believe that God desires to set every one of us completely free in every nook and cranny and dark place of our heart. Just as the sister sang in the verse of that song that just preceded, she said, "I was walking in darkness all alone." Walking darkness all alone. And see, in many, many areas, many of us walk in darkness, even though we overall can have a good spiritual life, and overall we can have a ministry, and we can have a lot of outward things that are happening in our lives, yet a deadness can settle in one area or more areas in our life. We can feel a deadness and a dryness and a lack of growth. 60-year Bible college students can feel a withering up and a drying, even though they've got a ministry, even though they're involved in things around here. Still, you can feel a dryness because you're in the same old ministry, and you get to feel like the same old ministry, whether it's music ministry or whether it's teaching or whatever it might be. You can begin to feel a dryness, and the new person just walked in the door can feel a dryness because you can feel like, oh, I've got so far to catch up. I've got so far to go to catch up, and I just don't feel anything but dryness inside of me. And it can feel like it can never blossom forth like some have. And then some people with jam-packed lives, the schedules are so busy with ministries and work and job and school and studies that they have no room to live and to enjoy life, and they're insecure. I've found that myself in the past, and I've talked to others that have found the same thing. They felt insecure and scared when they had some free time because they didn't know what to do with it because they didn't know what it was like to live anymore. But they can get so bound up and wrapped up in the heavy schedule that we have here at Community Chapel because God is moving, because He's calling us to many things. I'm not saying that we're going to stop doing all the things we're going to do, but I'm just saying that God has a place of freedom for us in that thing. And in the midst of all of the rush and the busy and the hurry, that we can find a rest and refreshing in the Spirit of God. Those who work here in the chapel, who work in the offices, who work in the more mundane and ordinary areas around here, can feel that they're losing touch and losing contact with the outside world and begin to feel penned in and begin to feel that they haven't really, the zeal to witness that they have, they haven't a lot of manifestations of spiritual life in that area. They can feel like they're hemmed in and penned in. Those are the people I'm speaking to tonight. If you have any area in your life where you've begun to feel bound, where you've begun to feel hemmed in, and I'm not talking about backsliding in any physical way. I'm not talking about anything like that. I'm just talking about being stultified, about being feeling like you're wrapped around with cords and you just can't be free. Then I'm talking to you tonight. I don't know how else to put it. If you turn to Job 14, 1 through 6, I'll try to slow down. A little bit here. But oh, the Lord is burning my heart to see some people set free tonight because He set me free, and He's been setting me free for the last 8 and 10 months, and I'm excited about it, and I've seen Him set other people free. Hallelujah. Job chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. We see the scripture says, "Man is born of a that man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Man's temple." Ever feel that way? Ever feel like your days just flicker by? Ever feel like your life's just like the shadow of a bird that just went across the ground and it's gone and you don't see it again? And that day is gone forever and you'll never have it again. And you look and you go, "What have I accomplished?" And you feel like you're bound and you're in a frantic race against time and you can't get anything accomplished and your wheels are spinning. Even though you're doing a lot of outward things, your heart isn't satisfied. Or if you aren't doing a lot of outward things, your heart won't be satisfied either. And it's just like the shadow of the winter sun. When in the winter, when the sun goes down, it's just a few hours after it came up, it seems, and the day is spent and what's happened. And again, you can feel like you're bound to that clock that's just racing and racing around, 12 hours, 24 hours, 36, 48, and there's 2 days gone by, two more days left your life, two more days gone out of your life, two more days close to the rapture, and you can feel like I've been bound up for two more days. Hallelujah. And in verse 3, and remember this is a complaint of Job, and he was in a lot worse situation than any of us are. And if his days seemed short, and all he was going through. In verse 3, he says, "And dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one, and bringest me into judgment with thee?" He's saying, God, how can you judge a shadow? How can you judge one whose life just flickers by? How can you expect me to accomplish all the things you've called me to accomplish in this short lifespan, in this short day? I want 35 hours in my day. I've prayed that, Lord. I wish you had 35 hours in a day. You're complaining, Lord, that's just too much for me with the time that I have available. I just can't handle it. I just can't do it. Or even if you have the time available, again, you just feel like you're wrapped tight and you just don't have the emotional freedom, you don't have the psychological freedom, the social freedom, whatever it might be, the spiritual freedom to step out, and whether it's just to step over and minister to a brother that's sitting there with his head down and he's about ready to cry because some devastating blow has just come against his life and you're bound up for some reason, you can't feel like you can find the words to speak to him. Ever feel like it's hopeless to measure up to the standards that God has put? That you just bound the same old patterns you've had since childhood, or that you've had since you were in college, or that you've had since you were a drug addict, or you've had since you weren't a drug addict, or whatever it might be? That was Job's complaint, that God couldn't judge one like that. God was, implicationally, God is unjust there. And his conclusion from that is, it goes on to say, who can bring, verse 4, a clean thing out of an unclean thing? Not one. Not me, Lord. Not me. Not possible with me. And I can't do it. And it's true. We can't do it. But there's an attitude. What I'm getting at is there can get to be an attitude of hopelessness, of despair, and it may not pervade all of your life. You may have a bright happiness and hope in all of your life, but there's one area where there's just a gloominess and a despair and just a dark cloud. It's like looking out at the Seattle skyline, you see one dark cloud kind of hanging over Burien, over your house, you know. And everybody else has got sun shining and they're out skipping and flying kites and playing frisbee and they're happy in whatever pursuit they do in the sunshine. And you just feel like you've got this one dark cloud over one area of your life. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Again, that attitude of hopelessness. God, you've set my limits and I can't go beyond them, and I'm just doomed to live out this life. And see, that's the natural man speaking. That's looking at it with natural eyes, natural man speaking, and you inevitably go into that. If in any area of your life the Spirit of God isn't pervading your life. Joel's viewpoint is that man's lot is just to live out his days here. And so he says, just let me live in peace until I've accomplished my days like a hireling. Verse 6, he says that. Turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish as an hireling his day. And in the Hebrew, that word accomplish can also mean until he pays, until he pays his day, until he just pays his dues, he pays his day, and he makes it through that day, and it's more close to his death, and relief from all he's going through. And he goes on, and he amplifies it in the next 8 verses, amplifies his thesis. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. When it says that will sprout again, Young's literal says again, it does change. There's hope of a tree that it will again, it will change. And that's going to be important later on, as we'll see. And that the tender branch thereof will not cease. That even though it's cut down, yet it'll spring back up anew. It'll spring back life. I cut off my avocado plant about 2 months ago, and I thought it had it for about 3 weeks because it wouldn't do anything. And I kept watering it faithfully, and finally it sprouted out leaves, and now it's growing fine. But see, there was a hope of that little tree. My roommate pointed that out to me because I shared this scripture with him. See, there was hope of that tree, even though it looked dead and dry. There still was hope of it. Again, verse 8, though the root thereof wax old in the earth, the root is the foundation. Now, I hope you're taking this spiritually and applying it to your lives, applying it to the fact that we are like that tree. So far, We're like that tree. When we're in any sort of despair, we're like that tree. We've been cut off. Our foundation, our source of strength, our anchor, our base, our source of nutrients has been cut off. The hopes, the dreams that we had, the expectations we had may have been cut off in a particular area or in a lot of areas or in all areas. And we're like that tree that's been cut off. So the root thereof waxed old in the ground. And when a root waxes old, it gets hardened. It gets a shell about it. It just gets a thickness about it. It's too thick to receive nutrients. It's brittle. It'll crack easily. It allows parasites to lodge in it and begin to eat away at the very substance of it. In Sherwood Forest, where Robin Hood was said to have run, I just read an article in the paper that the trees there are dying because the roots underground have been trampled and the ground has been compacted around them by so much trampling of people coming to see Sherwood Forest because they've heard of Robin Hood. The people's love for Robin Hood is killing those trees. And the point I want to make, that wasn't the point I wanted to make. The point I wanted to make is that your heart is like that root. If it gets trampled about, it can just get hemmed in and it can get squeezed and it can get a barrier of that hard-packed earth around it, the hard-packed things of the world around it, that it can't be penetrated by nutrients. It can't be penetrated by the life of God. And I have to call attention to that phrase, in the earth. That's being in direct contract with the world, being buried in it too long. When your heart's buried in the world too long, been buried there just too long, then you're in contact with the world and you become dried out and you get that despair and you get that hopelessness coming in. And again, I'm not just talking to those that are out and out backsliding, although I'm talking to you too. I'm not just talking to just one group of people that's in total darkness. I'm talking to those that are moving out in the ministry as well as those that have that super darkness in all areas of their life. Goes on to say, though the root thereof wax old, and the stalk thereof, that's the stem in the Hebrew. It's a pipeline to supply nutrients. It's life-bearing member. It connects the foundation to the branches and to the fruit. It carries the sap from where it collected the water and the nutrients on up to that which bears the fruit and that which evidencing that there's life in there. And that stem has died. It connects the head, in people, it connects the head to the rest of the body. And it says that that stalk has died in the ground. Rotherham says that that's dust. It's died in the dust. Dust speaks of man. Man is dust of the earth. The Hebrew word for Adam, Hebrew word Adam meaning man, is the same word they use for dust in many scriptures. And when you're in contact with the dust of the earth too much, and when you're thinking too much like the dust of the earth, and then think of the applications to your life. Think of what it does to your spiritual life, your mental, your social life in every area. Yet there's hope of a tree, it says in verse 9, yet through the scent of water it will bud. Young says that's the fragrance of water. That's the fragrance, the sweet odor of water coming. I worked in the hay fields in eastern Washington when it was 110 degrees in the shade and there wasn't any shade. And it was so hot it raised blisters. If you touched a hand to a dark colored metal, it would just raise blisters instantly. And at the end of the haying, when we'd be going home and you could smell rain in the air, and you could smell it. And around Seattle, you don't know what rain doesn't smell like and what it doesn't like, what it smells like not to have rain. But see, there, that was a precious thing, and you could smell the scent of water. You could smell the scent of water, and it was a precious thing, and it was a thing to be sought after. When it was 117 degrees, the smell of the moisture from the sprinklers, from the apple trees over in eastern Washington, is just a refreshing thing to feel. And I used to just go drive through among the trees, like just feel and smell that coolness and that fragrance and that precious water and that moisture in the air that would just bring life again to my parched skin. It says, yet through the scent of water it will bud. And the Hebrew says again, it says break forth. It will break forth. Get the applications to your life that it will break forth through that scent of water. And I'll bring more in a minute. And it says it'll bring forth boughs like a plant. Literally, it's bring forth a harvest. Literally, it'll bring forth a harvest. It'll break forth, and then it'll bring forth a harvest. That which was apparently dead and had no fruit at all now has fruit, and now has abundant fruit. It has an abundant harvest. But let's look at Job's viewpoint. Remember, this is the viewpoint of the natural man, the Old Testament man, that didn't have the hope of the born-again experience, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the direct contact with God that we have. He had to walk in faith with not the experiences that we have. So in Job 14, verses 10 through 12, he says, But man dieth. In other words, man's not like that tree. Man dieth and he wasteth away. The Hebrew says he just reclines. He just lays down. He just lays down and gives up. Doesn't that happen to you in your life sometimes? Don't you just feel like giving up in a particular area because the battle is just too much? It's just too much. In this particular area, I've been fighting it too long and nothing seems to work. Nothing seems to work. And I'm just dried up and I'm just like that root in the ground. That root in the ground. The man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost. And where is he? Where to go? See, that's the ultimate end of that kind of thinking and of walking in that place is a hopelessness regarding your eternal life. As the waters fail from the sea and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not. Man lies down and he never gets up again. And you just look, all you see is decay and death. All you see is decay and death. And again, I'm saying that's in a particular area of your life. I'm not talking about your hope of eternal life. I'm not talking about putting faith in Jesus for your salvation. I'm talking about other things that I'll get to in a little bit here. In verse 14, well, I'll go on with verse 12. Till the heavens be no more, till the heavens wear out, the Hebrew says, till the heavens are worn out, they shall not awake nor be raised out of their sleep. And then Job's cry to get out of all this. Oh, that thou wouldst hide me in the grave, that thou wouldst keep me secret. Until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldst appoint me a set time and remember me. And he's feeling the wrath of God. He thinks it's the wrath of God. It's the devil tempting him and trying him. Remember, the Lord stood by him. The devil was tempting him and trying him. And he's talking about, I'm going to wait until the wrath of God is past. And see, just like the brother mentioned earlier tonight, those things that you think are the wrath of God, maybe the judgment of God in your life, could be the devil coming against you and testing you, that God wants victory. God wants you to have, to seek the fragrance of that living water and to bud and break forth and to have fruit, to everlasting life. That thou wouldst appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man dies, shall he live again? That's a natural man's despair and just resignation to his fate. Okay, we've looked at Job, we've looked at the natural way of looking at things, and I've made some relations to situations that we have. Let's start looking at spiritual eyes. First, let's look at the scent of water. Turn with me to Psalm 72, verse 6. Psalm 72 and verse 6. We'll begin to see what it's talking about in Scripture when it starts talking about water, and your ears can just perk up and your eyes can just take a second look whenever you see water in Scriptures from now on and realize that there's a spiritual, many, many cases, there's a spiritual application to that. Psalm 72, verse 6. It's a very short verse, but it's been a precious, precious verse for me over the years. It's talking about Jesus. It says, he shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. See, when we begin to seek the fragrance of the living God, we're seeking the scent of water that it talks about that will make that tree come alive. See, that's what he wants us to seek. He wants us to seek his presence. You see, I brought this because I didn't want to bring a lot of cliches, and I didn't want to bring things in ways that we've heard so many times. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. Let's turn to Hosea 6 and verse 3. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hosea 6:3. I'll start with verse 2. You ever notice in Scripture how often people go back and messages that I'll have to go back 1, 2, 3 verses? No, I'll have to go back a little more. It's so marvelous because it's all so tied together and it all fits. Everything fits. After 2 days will he revive us, and the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain. As the latter and the former rain under the earth. If you've ever lived in desert country and you see everything all brown and barren and dry, and you think, is there ever hope of those trees ever bring forth fruit again? And then you see the latter rains coming. Then you see the autumn rains coming. You see spring rains coming. You go down in Mexico and you see those cacti just breaking forth with flowers, and they produce fruit just like that. They produce fruit. They're waiting. They're waiting eagerly for that living water. They're waiting eagerly for that water. Eagerly for the scent, the fragrance of that water. And they begin to, I just have a mental picture of them just kind of smacking their lips because they can see those clouds coming over the horizon, and it's going to dump. They're ready to pop up those leaves and pop up those flowers and produce that fruit. In Jeremiah 2:13, you don't have to turn to it. It's just for you, those of you that are taking notes. But Jeremiah 2:13, God calls himself the fountain of living waters, and in that case, he's chiding Israel for turning away from him, the fountain of living waters, but the point is there that he is that fountain of living waters. He is that, the source of all that's fragrant and all that's beautiful. In Song of Solomon 1:1, it says that his name is ointment poured forth. And that's a different kind of fragrance. It's still a precious, precious, precious fragrance that brings light to the heart and joy to the soul. In Jeremiah 18:14, and again, you don't have to turn to it, but God calls himself the cold, flowing waters that come from another place. The cold, flowing waters, the cold, refreshing waters in a desert place. When you're in a desert place, he's a life giver. He means power. He means energy. He means food. Did you know that without water, you can't metabolize the food that you eat? That if you can eat all the most energetic, high-protein, health food you want, but without water, you couldn't metabolize it. You couldn't burn it up. You couldn't use it. Kind of funny, isn't it? Because water, you use to put out fires, but yet you can't burn things up without water. Marvelous. That's the Lord is marvelous. But he's promised. Now, I'm going to read some promises now, too. In John 4:14, he's promised water. He said, "He that drinketh this water that I give shall never thirst." See, he's promised that he will give that water, and he that drinks that water will never thirst, that tree will bring forth abundantly, to go back to that analogy that I was bringing. In Isaiah 55:1, it says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters." Now, that's a command. That's an exhortation. That's not just, well, come to the waters if you feel like it. But that's, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters." And every one of us has a thirst in our soul in some area in some way. A thirsty tree seeks and responds to water, and it sends its roots down. A tree that's planted by the stream sends its roots down by the stream, it says in Jeremiah, sends forth its roots and then never ceases from yielding fruit and giving fruit because it sent its roots down that water and it sought the fragrance of water. How can a tree smell under the dirt? I don't know. But it can seek after that fragrance of water. And see, we can do that same thing when we're buried in the world here, so to speak. We're in the world, we're not of it, yet we're buried in it, and yet we can send our roots out and seek after the presence of a living God. And we can draw what we need from that. Now let's look at that tree again with this perspective. Let's go back to Job 14 and verse 8. Job 14:8. Hallelujah. That dry root. The point I'd like to bring up right now is that it says that the scripture says that Jesus was a root out of dry ground. Start thinking of that. Why was he out of dry ground? He came out of the dry ground because he had in him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And to make a broader application that I've been bringing so far, we're out of the dry background, the dry ground of the denominational church world, of the world in general. And we can be like Jesus, that root out of dry ground, so you can make that application too. In verse 8 it says, though the root, see that root, it's waxed old, it's gotten old, and it's gotten stiff, but it can through the scent of water. It can through taking in water, it can swell, it can grow, and it can be a strength, it can be a source of supply, it can be a stable and a firm foundation. It can take in nutrients that are needed, and it's the same thing with our body here. Our body of believers in this really deep. But other trees have roots, many, many roots that go out in many directions. And that's more what we're like. We have roots that go out in different directions. And we have areas that are foundations for different areas of our life, for different directions. When winds come against us, there's a root going that direction to counteract the wind from this direction. And that root always goes out in that direction that the wind's going to come from and be an anchor. And so we can have all our roots strong in one quadrant, but we can have one area where those roots aren't strong, see. And we need to seek the living water in those ways. We need to dig our roots in to seek the fragrance, seek that descent of the living water. The stalk. Though the stalk has died in the ground, yet the stem, the stalk can live and it can move toward the light. See, it serves the function of turning the fruit toward the light. See, we can only turn our fruit toward the light when we've got that supply ourselves. We can only turn our new converts toward the light. We can only turn those whose lives we brought fruit in toward the light if we've got that upwelling supply of water to keep the flexibility and the resiliency in that stem, to be able to turn it towards the light of the revelation of God, and to be able to turn it and to be able to stand strong against the winds that come against us and to recover. Let's bend over. Have you ever bent over a real dry? And see, then we can convey strength from the foundation. New convert, whoever it might be. And to find an abundant life in Jesus and realize that it's not just going just with desire for us. See, so far we've just talked about meeting the desires of our heart. But what about meeting the desires of Jesus? How does that fit in with this? And you wouldn't always think that Job is the place to find the plan of God, but see, the plan of God is throughout the Word of God. All the days of my military service will I wait. Till my change come. And this mortality. They all died in service to their king and master. They all died. They weren't at the head of the triumphal procession yet. They all died. Some warriors die along the way. The campaign's been going on for 2,000 years against the foes of the living God. And from before that, but since the resurrection of Jesus for 2,000 years, this military campaign is being waged and just about ready. Some go home to be with their leader and to share in his rewards and in his triumph. Just a motley calling, but he knows which one of us are in that place to go to be with him. And he'll address us by name. That call to Job was the call to death when the death angel came for him. So, tell her joy. Of our God, that He's one presence, so I'll be desirable to you. Have the He come to places in His life where He felt areas where He dried up, where it didn't seem like there. For God, the living God. See, this is where the analogy the real striking parallel to Job, so he'll go back a couple of verses. He says, verse 2, enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified, for the enemy hath persecuted my soul, he has smitten my life down to the ground. Remember the tree that was cut. Therefore is my spirit over. I remember the days of old. I will meditate on all thy work. I will muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth for thee as a thirsty land. Notice he didn't say as in a thirsty land, but as a thirsty land. Feel apathetic in any area. That's one area where some people are so afraid of what will happen at night when they go to sleep, that they don't sleep all night. But there's that one area that's just hopeless. It's withered, it's dried up, it's got a shell around it, and it can't be broken into, and I've tried, and I've tried, and I've tried to find something new to break out of it, but I can't do it. It can apply in the area of your marriage, where it just seems like and I just have to speak by hearsay. I didn't mean it quite like that, but it can be whether it's the same old bickering, the same old quarreling with the children, or whatever it might be. See, I just know. See, I'm not married myself, but I know that these things happen, and I know that it's true by the Word of God. That's an area where a person can be dried up and still have a wonderful ministry. Still have a wonderful ministry. Not what it would be if things were perfect, still have a wonderful ministry, but that area of insensitivity, that area of bickering, that area of snapping at the children or whatever it might be, see, and what I'm talking about is when you get a hopelessness in that area. I'm not talking about if God is moving in that area, but when you begin to get a hopelessness and despair and a deadness in that area, it can apply in the area of your ministry. Like you feel like just nothing fresh is happening, whether you've got an individual music ministry or whether you've got a ministry in teaching the Word of God or whether you've got a ministry in Sunday school. And I've experienced that myself in times past when I came to a point where I thought, I am just going to get out of this. I'm just, because nothing new is happening. I'm not seeing growth and I don't know what to do. And so it's just kind of like that root just started drying up. It can come in the area of affecting your heart to help at church if you just feel a real apathy and indifference. When they call up on the phone, see, I'm making specific applications to these things. It's not. I've already brought the area of just enjoying. And just see how much it may tally with your own thoughts of what man's like and how limited your days are and how dull and dead everything is and how hopeless everything is. And then turn those scriptures to talk with the living water. And it'll give you the fragrance of living water that'll make your soul begin to come alive now.